भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, entitled The Perfection of Renunciation, text number 36.
Sukham tu idanim trividam shrinu me varatharshava abhyasad ramate yatra dukhantam cha nigacchati. Sukham tridanam trividam. Sukham tvidanim trividam. Shrinu me bharatarshava. Shrinu me bharatarshava. Abhyasad ramate yatra. Abhyasad ramate yatra. Dukhantam cha nigacchati. Dukhantam cha nigacchati. Sukham tvidanim trividam. Shrinu me bharatarshava. Abhyasad ramate yatra. Dukhantam cha nigacchati. Sukham tvidanim trividam. Shrinu me bharatarshava. Abhyasad ramate yatra. Dukhantam cha nigacchati.
Come, happiness. Tu, but. Idanim, now. Trividam, of three kinds. Srinu, here. Me, from me. Bharata Rishabha, O best amongst the Bharatas. Abhyasat, by practice. Ramate, one enjoys. Yatra, where. Dukha, of distress. Antam, the end. Cha, also. Nigacchati, gains. O best of the Bharatas, now please hear from me about the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress, responsively. O best of the Bharatas, now please hear from me about the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A conditioned soul tries to enjoy material happiness again and again. Thus, he chews the chewed. But sometimes, in the course of such enjoyment, he becomes relieved from material entanglement by association with a great soul. In other words, a conditioned soul is always engaged in some type of sense gratification. But when he understands by good association that it is only a repetition of the same thing, and he is awakened to his real Krishna consciousness, he is sometimes relieved from such repetitive so-called happiness. Sukham tvidanam trividam shrunume bharatashabha vyasad ramate yatra dukhantam chanigacchati. O best of the Bharatas, now please hear from me about the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress. So, we are discussing how there are three kinds of everything in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, and in the mode of ignorance. Here, Lord Krishna is asking Arjuna to hear from him. Tatshrunu. Hear from me. Shrinu me Bharatarshava. This is because in our conditioned state, we can't discriminate between what is good for us and what is bad for us. There are two kinds of happiness. One is called Shreyas and the other is called Prayas. Prayas means that which gives immediate benefit. So, that includes taking intoxication. You take intoxication, you get some immediate experience of sense gratification. Sex life, you get something immediate. Eating anything you like at any time, in any place, people want that kind of independence to enjoy at every instant. But such prayas or such happiness always ends in unhappiness. Always ends in unhappiness. One form or another. Mostly, we become very much attached to the process of enjoying that which is temporary or illusory. So at the time of death, we can't discriminate between what is Shreyas and what is Prayas. Shreyas means happiness which is ultimately beneficial. In the beginning, according to our conditioning, it may or may not be satisfying to our senses. But in the end, it will be both satisfying to our senses and will give us unlimited happiness. Here, we're talking about happiness, and generally two words are used to describe happiness. Sukha. Sukha means just that, the opposite of dukkha. Happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with the sense objects. But there is another kind of happiness which is used in reference to spiritual life, and that is ananda. These two words are different. Sukha has a beginning and an end, but ananda is described as anandam buddhivardhanam. We know Lord Chaitanya has praised the chanting of the holy names as Chetodarpana Marjanam. It cleans the dust from the mirror of the heart. Balo Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, it puts out the forest fire of material ignorance. And Anandam Buddhivardhanam, Vidyavadu Jivanam, it is the life of all transcendental knowledge. And Anandam Buddhivardhanam means it is Ananda and Ambuddhi. It's an ocean of bliss. And what kind of ocean is this? It is Vardhanam, or increasing. It's always increasing. In the material world, when we engage in sense gratification, there is always the law of diminishing return. Whatever you do, if you do it a second time, a third time, a fourth time, it becomes less and less pleasurable. Or at the very least, your ability to enjoy such type of happiness of the contacts, sansparsaja bhoga, yehi sansparsaja bhoga dukkha yona evate adhyantavanta konte anateshu ramate buddha. Intelligent men, and there are not very many in this world, intelligent men who see things as they are, they recognize that this type of gratification, which simply involves rubbing the skin, sex life is the highest form of material sense gratification. It's also the perverted reflection of the highest form of spiritual bliss. Prema pumartho mahan. The opposite of kama is prema. So, this kama, or sex life, is nothing more than the rubbing of skin, really. It's just some chemical reactions take place, some fluids are moved here and there, but it's just rubbing of skin. And there's something that we consider to be intoxicating about it. And therefore, the whole world is preoccupied. But all the way down, right from sex life, all the way down, it is just the same business over and over again. And the senses of the body are getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Even this sex life, there's a joke about age, sex life, when people, they can't have sex life every day. People get married, so they try to have sex life three times a week. So that's called tri-weekly, three times a week. But as they get older, their senses won't allow them to do that, especially the man becomes weaker and weaker. So he tries to, T-R-Y, to have sex life weekly, once a week, tri-weekly. And then when he gets older, he tries W-E-A-K-L-Y. He tries weekly because he's weak. So tri-weekly, tri-weekly, tri-weekly. That's sex life. Because the senses become dull. You can't taste. You can't hear. You can't smell. You can't touch in the same way you used to. So this is really Shreyas, and those who are Buddha, Teshu Ramate Buddha, they don't try to enjoy in that way. They know Sukham Indriyakam Daitya Deha Yogena Dehinam Sarvatra Labhyate Daivad Yatha Dukham Ayatnataha. This Sukha will come automatically. As long as I have a body, in order to maintain the body and soul together, I have to feed it. And I have some purusharthas. I may get married and I may have children. So there will be some kind of sense gratification. You can't avoid it. Even the people in Ethiopia, in Rwanda, or very close by in Kosovo, every day, every one of those people is getting some kind of sense gratification. Believe it or not. They're getting some little relief from pain and some little experience of sense gratification, or at least if not every day. In cycles, things are coming up and down, good times and bad times. And we're just moving in the material world over and over and over again. It's the same broken record. You know, when a record gets broken and it keeps, this, you know, the same words keep coming out again and again, the record, the needle won't go further. That's material life. It's the same thing. If you want to have an experience, think about your family life. Think about your mother and your father and whatever in your family. And then sit together with 10 other people and tell them about your experience. And you'll probably hear more or less the same kind of experience from at least 7 out of 10 of those other people. Or 8 out of 10, or maybe 10 out of 10, I don't know. Because everybody just goes through relatively the same thing. We have not done anything new. We're not formerly people wore different clothes. If you look at pictures of, or paintings, pictures going back maybe 100 or so years, but paintings going back 200, 300, 500 years, people wore different clothes. People didn't ride in cars or airplanes, they rode in horse carts or ox carts. People may appear to have been either inferior or different than us, but basically they weren't different. We're not better. We've just taken the same old wine and put it in a nice new bottle, colored bottle with some ribbon, and we're saying better, improve. But it's the same thing. Abrahma Bhuvanaloka. You go from the Brahmalok to Patalok. Upariyada. Up and down you go. It's the same business going on everywhere on every planet. Sense gratification. And no matter how you decorate it, garnish it, you know, people are very fond of, like, meat eating. They take a piece of rotten flesh and they smoke it, they cook it, they spice it. They put parsley and other things around it and sauces and everything. And they think, oh, this is delicious. But if you take all the extra trappings away and just give them a piece of rotten flesh, nobody will like to eat it. But because of the special effects, we're all into special effects these days. Every movie's got to have more and more special effects. But the basic thing is just the same. So this is called sukha or prayas. It will not give us happiness in this life, and it will not awaken us to our real business. A good example of someone who could see this very clearly was Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of demons. And he was surrounded. Not only was his father a demon, but all his neighbors were demons too. And his teachers were demons. He was completely surrounded. So he could see very clearly what their lifestyle, what their activities were, how he was being taught. His teachers, Sandanamarka, they were sons of Shukracharya. Shukracharya was the guru of all the demons, and his very name belies the teaching. Although he was guru, but he was Shukracharya. Shukra means semen. So he was simply a family guru, a seminal guru. He wasn't accepted because of his transcendental qualities. He had power. He knew mantras. Mantra, tantra, visharadaha. Even though one is expert in all the Vedic mantras, a Vaishnava, if he's not Vaishnava, then he's not to be accepted as guru. Guru Nasyat. Vaishnava Guru Nasyat. So this Shukracharya, his sons, were teaching Prahlad under the instruction of Hiranyakashipu to master all the arts of a good politician. Generally, in any situation, you're going to find some degree of politics. It can't be, it's not a bad word, really. It just, the point is Krishna should be at the center. When Krishna is not at the center, then it's material. And when Krishna is at the center, politics will be there. The king has always got amongst his praja, amongst the citizens, someone who is his competitor. We see it everywhere. And it's as much a part of this material world as anything else. So the king has to know how to deal. If he's going to be a leader, he has to know how to deal with such persons, especially a king of a big society, a big kingdom, especially in this Kali Yuga. So if he finds out a competitor, the first thing he has to do is call him and talk with him and try to convince him to be his friend. That's part of diplomacy, trying to engage in some friendly dialogue and try to attract the person by sweet words. But if that doesn't work, then the king has to try to bribe him, offer to make him the vice president or something, or offer him a big post with a big salary. Try to bribe him. And if that doesn't work, then the king has to, if the person still goes on criticizing the king and creating disruption, then the king has to create dissension and in the camp of that person. Point out some faults in him. Show that he's not actually a good leader. He's just a fault finder. If that doesn't work, then the king has to give some severe punishment. And Prabhupada even mentions take him before the firing squad. The king's duty, if he has an enemy, he can't allow that person to interfere with his administration. After trying so many other things, he has to have some way of dealing with citizens. So this was the teaching, the diplomatic, the material diplomatic teaching of Sandanamarka. And they thought that Prahlad had been trained up. So finally one day they decided to present him before his father. And his mother dressed him up nicely in his best Sunday school, uniform, and brought him before his father, and he offered obeisances to his father, and his father was so happy, and brought him upon his lap, and began hugging him and kissing him and smelling his head. This is something that in cultured society people do to someone's that you love. Some ritual, smelling the head. I don't know, it's as good as any other ritual that people do, like kissing. There's no sense in kissing. I've tried to figure out what is kissing, you know, sharing spit. But doesn't make any sense. There's nothing tremendous about rubbing mouths together. So, smelling the head. He was smelling Prahlad's head. And then he asked him that, what have you actually learned in school? You know, you've been studying for so many years. So, what is the best thing that you've learned? And this is there were two instances. There were two times when Prahlad saw his father. The first time, Prahlad told him that the real lesson to be learned can't be learned by the situation I'm in. He said, Matir na krishne paratha svato va mito vipadyeta griha vratanam. Paratha means superior or highest knowledge. And matir na krishne, in relationship to Krishna, can't be learned. Mito vibhadyeta grihavratanam, by someone who is attached to sense gratification, basically. Grihavrat, they're in family life, there are two words to describe family life. One is grihastha and one is grihamedi. So a Vaishnava can be a grihastha and still be a good devotee of the Lord. But if a Vaishnava becomes a grihamedi, only interested in sense gratification, then he loses all his intelligence. So, we should know the difference between grihastha. A grihastha is an ashram where people actually live together for the purpose of practicing tapasya. Of course, that tapasya is devotional service. That tapasya is maybe doing a job, doing some work for Krishna, or raising a family for Krishna. But there are rules and regulations. For example, a grihastha may engage in sex life, but only once a month for the purpose of procreation. That is a grihastha, grihastha ashram. So Prahlad Maharaj is telling his father that someone who is so much, a vrata means a very determined or very much involved in, someone who's very much involved in enjoying his griha, punksa striya mituni bhava me tattayor mito hridaya granti mahu. The knot of material affection becomes very tightly tied. This is what happens. You can't help it. It doesn't matter who you are. No one is able to fight kama or lust. Kamesha, krodesha, rajogun, samudbhava. This is mahashano mahapapma. Vidyenam iha vairinam. This is our worst enemy, really. Is this uncontrolled lust. We want to turn it into uncontrolled love, but in the conditioned life, we're conditioned to these lusty things. So what happens is, because of that grunta, that knot, ato griha chetra sutapta vitarjanasya mohoyam aham mameti, one starts to accumulate so many things for sense gratification. And it just, you see it all the time. Even devotees tell me all the time that they have a garage full of, in their house, they have a garage full of things that they've accumulated that they've used only five times or something. So many paraphernalia. You just go on accumulating, and there's no sense in it. So, aham mam eti, one begins to think, I am this body and this is mine. So Prahlad Maharaj tells his father that adanta gobir vishatat tamishram punap punas charvita charvananam. Such persons don't mind that they're going down into darkness, into the lower species of life, adanta gobi. And even here, they're just chewing the chewed. Charvita means that which has been chewed, and charvananam means enjoying that which has already been enjoyed before by you or by others. Nowadays, of course, divorce is very, very common. And it doesn't end there, because both couples remarry again, and generally you'll find that everybody has had two or three. So, again, the same thing. Formerly it was a pride of a man and a woman that they would not have sex life until their marriage. But now, you know, everybody's getting somebody else's prasadam. It's like... there's a funny trend in America. Not funny trend, actually. Probably a good trend amongst born-again Christians. Even amongst Catholics now, they've joined in. At least this was a few years ago. They would get together in big stadiums, not for football games, but to declare that we are saving ourselves for marriage. And they actually... took it as an important part of their vow. And statistics, there's been a lot of study of the social animal over the last 30 years, because there's been tremendous social change, especially in the area of sex life. And people have become more and more degraded very quickly. So, you know, the sociologists and psychologists, etc., are always out there getting their statistics to write their books and this and that. But one observation has been made is that people who enjoy premarital sex are far more likely to get a divorce when they finally get married. There's something psychological about it. It's not obvious on the surface, but it's underneath. And here's a situation where prayas is causing disturbance and people don't even know it. So Prahlad Maharaj goes on to tell his father that Natevidu Svardhagatim hi Vishnu Durasaya ye hi Arthamanina Bahir Arthamanina, that people don't know that their real self-interest is actually Krishna or God. They don't know that you can have a relationship with God, a loving, fulfilling relationship with God. Why are saintly persons, sages, and ascetics, why are they practicing celibacy? Because they want to achieve a relationship with the Supreme. They want the best kind of person as their lover. They want the best, the highest. Just like sometimes you'll see if there's a very popular person, then someone, or maybe many people, will actually undergo some austerity to try to meet that person, try to have a relationship with that person, because they want the best. So we have an opportunity to have a relationship, a real relationship, which is a relationship where there is reciprocation. Initially, that reciprocation may be internal, but ultimately in the spiritual world, there's no difference between internal and external. The relationship becomes not exactly physical, but spiritual. It becomes exactly what we want. We're trying to get it here in the material world, but we can't. There's no perfect relationship. So Prahlad Maharaj tells his father that such persons, they're interested in bahir, external happiness. They don't know that their real happiness is Vishnu, and andaya tandaya upaniyamanas. They because of their stupidity, because of not knowing, they get led, and we all have a tendency to be influenced by someone, so they're led by people who don't know themselves, who are in darkness themselves. Andha means in someone who's in darkness, who's blind. And andaya tandaya, tandai, means someone who is leading such persons who are in darkness. Someone who's in darkness and he's leading other people in darkness. And this is one of the cheating propensities that we have. That even though we make mistakes, even though we're in illusion, even though we're imperfect in so many ways, we'll make up some philosophy, gather some people around us, and pretend that we're a leader, and exploit them. And it happens all the time, all around us. You know, you don't have to go very far. Right here in Slovenia, there are so many political leaders with following. There are so many social leaders with following. People are following someone. Some musician has got some following, and people emulate him, want to do everything the way he does things. And he'll pretend that he's got some superior idea of life. That if you just follow him, if you just, the television commercials, if you just wear this perfume, or you just smoke this brand of cigarettes, or, then all your success will. And it sounds funny, but people do it. That's the amazing thing. It sounds ludicrous. You laugh at it. Oh, that's stupid. You know, but people follow it. Otherwise, those people who make the commercials wouldn't get any money. Or those people who promote those political parties. There's a sucker born every minute. According to Mr. P.T. Barnum of Barnum and Bailey Circus. There's a sucker born every minute. There's a fool. There's a someone who just doesn't know and is ready to be led. By people in the mode of ignorance, by people who are also in darkness. And then Prahlad Maharaj goes on to state that unless these people bathe themselves in the dust. They take a deep, long bath in the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee of the Lord. They will never be able to achieve perfection in their lives. So, here Prabhupada also mentions in the purport that when the conditioned soul comes in contact with association, he gets good association. Here says association with a great soul, a Mahatma. Mahatma is someone who is always engaged in Krishna's service. There's two kinds of people, Mahatma and Duratma. So a Duratma, he's a very devious and complicated and pretentious type of person. Whereas a Mahatma, he's very simple and straightforward. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavataha namashyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. He's always engaged, nitya yukta upasate. He's always engaged in Krishna's devotional service. He's daivim prakriti mashrita. He's under Krishna's protection. He has no other life but Krishna's service. That's a Mahatma. He's always talking about Krishna. He's only interested in service, devotional service to Krishna. So if people get a chance to lava matra sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoy, even for 1/11th of a second, if they get a chance to come in contact with a pure devotee, especially a pure devotee of the caliber like Srila Prabhupada, even a moment's association, or better, that they get more association. Therefore, we take the trouble to create an institution. Institutions are always a problem. I don't know about you, but in my youth, we joined the Krishna consciousness almost like fraternity. We didn't really see it as a religion because we hated organized religion. You know, it was something that we just, you know, it was so corrupt. Catholicism, Christianity, Islam had nothing good to offer. So we were going to find something different, something better. But the fact is, I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now, as the poet said. Think about that. I was so much older then. In other words, I thought I knew everything when I was young. But now that I'm older, I can realize that I didn't know much. I'm younger than that now. So, we need a place where we can get together and talk about Krishna and take prasadam together and chant together. And any kind of association with devotees is so beneficial. We're sometimes, of course, it's nice when there's a festival, and it's nice when there's good mridanga players, and it's nice when the kirtan leaders know how to sing on key, in tune. You know, all that's really nice. And when the kirtan leader's a good dancer, and we should always try to organize these kind of things. But any association with any kind of a Vaishnava is so valuable, because it helps us to remain constantly in touch with Krishna. It's when we get out of touch with Krishna that we slip backwards. We get covered over. Just like devotees who come to the temple, they may live outside, especially new devotees, or even persons who have not declared themselves as devotees. One thing that they, a common thing that you hear is, I come to the temple and I just feel a different atmosphere. And the moment I go out the front door and leave, I feel a different energy envelop me. I feel something different. It's strange. And it's a fact in the association of many Vaishnavas where devotional service is being practiced, where austerity is being practiced. Just like we read in the Mahabharata and in the Ramayana, there's a nice discussion about Lord Ramchandra as he enters the Dandaka forest. And at first he goes to Chitrakoot. But while staying at Chitrakoot, he gets notice. He comes to understand that he's too available there. Anyone could find him out. So he desires to go deeper into the forest to some remote place where he can be totally secluded. So as he goes deeper and deeper into Dandaka, he's directed towards the ashram of the sage Agastya Muni. So even miles, 20 miles away from the ashram of Agastya, as he enters that part of the deep forest. Now, this is a deep forest where there are wild lions and tigers and jackals and flesh-eating birds, and all the plant life is in the mode of ignorance. You know, dense forest with thorny bushes and no paths or trails. And very inauspicious place, this part of the forest. But as he comes close to the ashram of Agastya, everything changes. All of a sudden, there are beautiful streams and ponds with lots of swans and other types of beautiful birds, cuckoos making beautiful sounds, and the flowers and trees are all bowing down, and trees are overladen with fruits, and you know, everything is very bright. And this is 20 miles away. And this is all due to the influence of this one sage who's practicing austerity and pleasing the Lord. So we need a place where we can associate together and try to make progress. We want to make progress. We may feel humbly that I can never be a great pure devotee, but that's not required. If we just chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, and try to be a humble devotee, then we will qualify ourselves for going back to Godhead. That is Srila Prabhupada's promise. If we just do that much, it's not so hard. So this is Ananda. This is a life of Ananda, not Sukh. Of course, you can say there are other expressions, Brahma Sukh, Brahma Sokyam Twanantam. But generally when you say sukh, you refer to happiness in the material world. And ananda means ever-increasing blissful satisfaction. So I wanted to just read a little bit about the... Well, first of all, it talks about the qualities of a great soul. And there's two lists, actually. There's one list from the Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter where it talks about the divine and the demoniac nature. So that list is almost... It's a good list, but Prabhupada, in discussing that in the purport, talks about Varnashram Dharma, and some of these qualities are meant for householders, and some of them are meant for sannyasis, and like that. And then there's what Krishnadas Kaviraj discusses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotee's desirable qualities are described to be 26 in number. They are stated as follows. He is very kind. He does not quarrel with anyone. These are qualities of a devotee, and they're desirable qualities. So we should try to emulate them somehow or other. He does not quarrel with anyone. So you've got to learn how to see how quarreling is not in your self-interest and give it up. He accepts Krishna consciousness as the highest goal in life. That's truthfulness. He is equal to everyone. Krishna says, samoham sarva bhuteshu, that I am equal to everyone. So a devotee is equal to everyone. He reciprocates with them according to how they approach him. He accepts Krishna consciousness as the highest goal in life. No one can find fault in his character. Certainly, many people did not necessarily agree with Prabhupada's philosophy, but nobody could find fault in his character. He was free from lust. There was no tinge of lust in him. There was no ambition or no mode to exploit you. His character was so nice. He is magnanimous. The devotee always tries to spread Krishna consciousness. That's his magnanimity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Mahavadanya Avatar, the most magnanimous incarnation, because he distributes even to unqualified people. Mild. A devotee is mild-mannered. You know, like mild-mannered Clark Kent. You ever hear of Clark Kent? Huh? Superman? They always described him as mild-mannered Clark Kent. It was different than his. And when he was Superman, he was in a whole different mode. It's amazing what telephone booths can do. Always clean. So, internally and externally clean. Internally clean by chanting Hare Krishna nicely, avoiding the 10 offenses. And externally clean by taking bath, by wearing clean clothes, by being suci, by washing your hands and mouth after you eat, by washing yourself when you go to the toilet. And there's so many ways that are psychologically beneficial for your Krishna consciousness. They're all little things in and of themselves, but when taken together, they help you to clear your mind of obstacles to spontaneous devotional service. You want to create a nice road, a free path. You want to create a beautiful lotus asana where Krishna can come and sit in your heart. So it's got to be clean. He does not profess to possess anything in this material world. Nirmama. Nothing is mine. Nirmama nirahankaro. He has no false ego, and he doesn't think that anything belongs to him. The opposite was janasya mohoyam aham mameti. We discussed. I am this body, and this is mine, 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 mine. Someone who's engaged in sense gratification, especially pungsa striya, that it's hard for him. The samadau na vidyate, good qualities cannot take place in such a person. Someone who is, what is that verse? Samadau na vidyate. In the Bhagavad Gita. pundits here. Come on, somebody. Okay. He doesn't possess anything. He is the benefactor to all living entities. He's peaceful and is a soul completely surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desire to fulfill. He is meek and humble, always steady, and has conquered the sensual activities. He does not eat more than required to maintain body and soul together. He is never mad after material identity. He is respectful to all others and does not demand respect for himself. He's very grave. This is an interesting word, gravity. Amongst other things, of course, gravity means one who's very serious about what he's doing. Prabhupada once gave a definition of gravity: when no one knows what you're thinking. So, I guess when your mind is so absorbed in Krishna, you have no other motive. You can tell when people are motivated to exploit you. You pick up that sense after some time. But for someone who has no mood of exploitation, you can't find out any ulterior motive in him. You can't understand what he's thinking, because he's always thinking of Krishna. He's very grave, very compassionate, very friendly. He is poetic. He is expert in all activities. And he is silent in nonsense. And then from the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding. There's a big one. Yeah. This is, in talking about sense gratification, we know from the Upadeshamata that there are various things. The material world means there's all kinds of miseries. There's janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, the four basic ones. There's adidaivik, adibhautik, adiatmik, klesha, miseries caused by nature, other living beings, my own inherent problems and faults. And then there are miseries caused by the different kinds of desires that I have. Vacho vegam, manasakrodha vegam, jiva vegam, udaropastha vegam, etan vegam yovishaheta dvira sarvam apimam prithivim sasishat. One who is free from the desire, amongst all other things, he's free from anger, he's free from, false ego, he's free from so many big things. But then in the same group of vegas, it mentions free from the desire to find fault in others is such an important thing. Prabhupada mentions that, call a spade, if you see a thief, you have to say there's a thief. It's not like, oh, I won't find fault with him. Let him steal and run away. I'm not a fault finder. You have to find fault. But in general, there may be someone in the temple whose duty it is to find fault. But as devotees, we should avoid fault finding. It is not beneficial for our advancement. Freedom from covetousness. Covet to try to possess or own things. Compassion for all living entities, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor. He's enthusiastic, he has vigor, he has life. Prabhupada used to quote Bhaktisiddhanta, one who has got vigor, one who has got life, he can, what? preach. Right. One who has got life, he can preach. That's an example of vigor. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is such a nice quality in a Vaishnava. Fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from passion for honor. These transcendental qualities of Son of Bharata belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. Now, one last thing I wanted to quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita in regard to this idea of Ananda and Sukh, the difference between the two. It's a beautiful verse. The happiness of the abode of love is in the happiness of the object of that love. Just listen to that. The happiness of the abode of love is in the happiness of the object of that love. That is not a relationship of desire for personal gratification. So, in the transcendental world, one experiences bliss by giving bliss to others, to the object of your love, by service. That is the spiritual world, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we want to create the kingdom of God, in the material world, if we want a better place to live, then we have to develop a mood of service towards other devotees of the Lord, especially Vaishnav Seva. By giving pleasure to other Vaishnavas, we become happy. We become blissful. Not for our own personal gratification. Okay. Are there any questions? Still? You mean why can't they stop devotional service and take a holiday? Or? Huh? Oh, why do they stop their devotional service? Well, we always have our freedom. Now, evidence of that is that we left the spiritual world. How the heck did we do that? You know, we were there with all the Kalpa Briksha trees and the Surabhi cows and the gopis and Lakshmis and, you know, I mean, everything must have been great. But we left. Somewhere or other we misused our independence. We developed, we have the option. It's always there. And somehow our number came up. We foolishly thought that we could be independent of Krishna. And Krishna bahir mukha hoya bhagavan chakari nikatastha mayatari japati adari. Immediately we were put here in the material world. Now, if you practice devotional service, then very quickly you will go back to Godhead. But that very quickly is a relative thing. You're thinking very quickly in the next 3 weeks or 6 months or 10 years, but that very quickly may mean in this lifetime or in the next few lifetimes. A devotee doesn't mind being born again. Janmani Janmanishvare. Even if I have to take birth again and again, but I want the opportunity to continue my devotional service. It may take that. And we shouldn't get disturbed about that as long as you're on the path of devotional service. And I can tell you, anyone who has stopped devotional service, go follow them. What are they doing now? Pumping gas to earn a living or, you know, some stupid thing. They're not enjoying any more than they were here. Maybe they get to exploit sense gratification a little bit more. But they get tired of that very quick. But because having been once burned having been once bitten by the snake of Maya, it's easy to get bitten again. And for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. Therefore, such people, instead of becoming a little humble and trying again, they can't come back. They're too, you know, too proud. So they're stuck. They can't enjoy material life, and they can't make progress spiritually, so they suffer like anything. I challenge you to find anyone who has left devotional service who can actually convince me that he's got a better way of life. So, they made a mistake. They just weren't patient enough. And they will get another chance. There's no problem. They're yoga brashta. So, yoga brashta, someone who couldn't complete the path. So there's no loss, no diminution. They benefit everything that they contributed to the mission of the pure devotee. Krishna has noted that. And they will start again. But it'll just take a little longer. And they'll have to face the same challenges. You have to pass the exam, just like if you're going to school and you get to the third year and you fail your exam, it's not like you start again next year and they say, okay, you can go on to the fourth year. No, you got to take the third year exam again. And if you fail it again, well, you can take a holiday, go around the world, do a little skiing or something, you know, and then you feel a little better and you come back to school a few years later. Or you can even wait your whole life. So many people do that. They drop out of school, you know, do this and that, and then when they're 45, gee, I think I'll finish my degree. It, you know, they have to face the same exam again. They've got to pass it. You've got to get over the hurdle. So why postpone? Just dig in. If it's a little troublesome, then draw upon, pray to Krishna for strength. He'll reciprocate with you. Pray to the Vaishnavas. That's why these qualities are important, especially humility and meekness and peacefulness and magnanimity and mildness and charitableness. That's why these things are important, because if you have a nice relationship with the Vaishnavas, they'll always be concerned to help you. No matter, because we all struggle with devotional service. We've been wandering in the material world for millions of lifetimes. And now, all of a sudden, in one lifetime, we're going to become, you know, a Paramahansa Thakur. Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. And, you know, everybody may have some skeletons in their closet. You know what that means? Probably nobody else does, huh? Skeleton in the closet, you know that expression? You left him, huh? You know what that expression is? You know, you go into someone's house and open their closet and there's a skeleton there. It means that we all have our moments of difficulty and others may not know about it and we struggle. And it may be a secret, but we overcome it. We just, by prayer, by austerity, by, you know, determination, we pass over the obstacle. It's not that every problem we have to broadcast on the internet. We have our own internal struggle to work with. Krishna knows everything. Krishna's eyes and ears are everywhere. Well, it's interesting. Generally, the spiritual master has two kinds of lila, prakat and aprakat, manifest and unmanifest. So, after the disappearance of the spiritual master, it is considered that he has gone to Krishna and he has entered into Krishna lila and he is absorbed with Lord Krishna. And that is his nitya lila, aprakat. It's not something that's manifest here, but it's there in the spiritual world. And so pravishta, established in his nitya lila. Now, as loving disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we sometimes refer to Srila Prabhupada as Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya, but Srila Prabhupada is no longer Parivrajakacharya. Parivrajakacharya means someone who's traveling everywhere preaching, but, you know, I've already been traveling to all the temples and I haven't seen Srila Prabhupada anywhere. He's not manifest with us anymore. His vapu has gone. So, sometimes we say nitya lila pravishta in the mood that Prabhupada is with Krishna, and sometimes we say Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya, you know, feeling that no, Prabhupada hasn't left, he's still there with us, you know, still kind of an attachment. If you were to really get technical about it, it should be nitya lila pravishta. I don't, you know. Huh? Yes, he's there in his murti, and he's there in his books, and he's there in his video, and he's there in his disciples' hearts, and so many ways. But, you know, it's different than his actual vapu when he walked amongst us, chastised us, and talked with us. And there's a difference in, not in quality, but in quantity. It's a relative difference. It's not an absolute difference. It's actually a relative. And so we have to learn different ways to associate with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, we're actually Rupa Nugas. The first Srila Prabhupada was Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. So we want his association also, and Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada. So all of the great acharyas we can associate with, including Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. But we have to know how to do it. Yeah. Have you got a few hours? Well, you have to believe that they are your ever well wishers. You have to believe that they have love for us, and they are desiring to distribute that love to us. And if you really firmly believe that, then it's just a matter of your opening your heart and receiving it by reading Prabhupada's books. And in Prabhupada's books, he does give us license to read other Goswami literature, by thinking of their pastimes, their leelas, and really not just reading another Jane Austen novel or something, you know, but really thinking, who are these people? What are their qualities? And desiring to emulate them by visiting their samadhis and by associating with other Vaishnavas, Vartmana Vaishnavas, appreciating their qualities. I would say if you have a desire to find Krishna, you'll find Krishna. And if you have a desire to find fault, you'll find fault. Krishna's there. He's coming out everywhere. And along with him, all his associates, all his devotees. It's a great Sankirtan party. At one point, Srila Prabhupada wanted to start an international Sankirtan party. And he was going to travel all over the world and his leading singers. And they were going to just travel in a plane and go from city to city and do Harinam everywhere. So there's a great Harinam party going out. And Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram and Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they're all, you know, ecstatically dancing. And all their devotees are with them. You have to want to join that party. Any other questions? Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.